I'm so happy to be here. Pastor Ronnie, thank you so much for the honor to be able to come and to share. I know when you called me a few months ago, Denise and I were talking, maybe if we'd known like a month in advance, it wouldn't have been so stressful. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous. So I'm a little nervous tonight, but I'm just honored and blessed to be here and to talk about the most important woman in history. I do have to say that I was happy that I didn't have to follow your mother, who was, she was Esther, and she had this beautiful, headdress, and so I was grateful for that, and then I was happy I didn't have to follow Denise Hamm and Denise Craig and Angie McGregor, but now I'm happy that I'm able to be able to share and talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. How amazing and what a wonderful honor that is. Jim said we were going to actually ride in on a donkey, and because he kind of wanted to one-up your mom, and so he's here somewhere. And so he said we were actually riding a donkey. He was going to be dressed as Joseph. I was going to be Mary. And I thought, well, because Glenda asked me, are you going to sing like Denise? I'm like, she sings like an angel. So I thought, well, we could lip sync to Mary. Did you know? But so many things could have gone wrong with that. So I'm so glad I actually overheard him on the phone. I thought he was joking, but he was like, man, we couldn't get the donkey in time. So thank you, honey, for not doing that to me. So I'm grateful for that. But I just want to pray and just ask the Lord to speak tonight. Father God, I just thank you so much for your presence. I thank you, Father, that you sent your son, Father, to a child, to a girl, Lord, and that you would, God, send your Savior, Lord, to each of us, Father. I thank you tonight, Lord, for Holy Spirit, God, that you would speak tonight. Anoint the words, Father God. I thank you that I would speak as though they are coming directly from your throne room, Father. I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that is here. I ask that you would give them ears to hear and a heart to receive. And Father, I pray to decrease that you might increase tonight. And we honor you, we glorify you, and we magnify your name. For it's in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. Well, I'll be honest, I had never really studied about Mary. It's talked about a little in Matthew and some more in Luke, but I really started digging in because I wanted to know who Mary was. And, I knew that she was young, but I really didn't know how young. They said from 12 to 14 years old. Mary was just a child. She was a babe. I have a 13 and 14-year-old granddaughters. And the thought that my granddaughters would be betrothed to someone, in that culture, Mary was being betrothed to Joseph. And back in that time, that was very common for a young girl, age maybe 12 and a half or older, to be actually given to a man, and it really was a matter of business then. There was money that would be exchanged, and so it really, to me, was somewhat frightening to think of, Mary being a child, that the word of God would come to her, that she would carry the Messiah. But she was a humble young girl, and I wanted to think about Mary, like what was special about her. And I have to thank Julie Harding. She was talking one day and she said, there's something about Mary. Well, of course there's a movie. And I thought, well, there is something about Mary. What is it about Mary that made her so special that she would carry God in her womb to be the Savior of the world? And so as I begin to pray and to fast and to seek the Lord, it really was amazing what the Holy Spirit was revealing to me. Mary was a common young girl. She was poor. She most likely lived in Nazareth with her parents. And it was in a remote region called Galilee. She was from the tribe of Judah and in the line of David. And she was connected in marriage with Elizabeth. So we see that she's a young girl, and she was humble. She was young, and she wasn't affluent. They didn't have a lot of money. They were really very poor. So what was it about Mary that made her special? You know, it was, you know, I looked at her character. You know, she was a humble servant of God, and she was a great woman of faith. And we know this from the Word. You know, Jesus is the, you know, Mary's the mother of Jesus, and she's commonly referred to as Mother of God, Saint Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she is the one of the most admired figures in Scripture and considered to be one of the greatest of all the Christian saints. She was a willing servant who trusted God, and she obeyed his call. While her life held a great honor, her calling also required great suffering. Though there was joy in motherhood, as there is always joy in motherhood, there was also great pain and the privilege that came with being the mother of the Messiah. And despite all of this and the things that would come for her and the things that she would see that her son would experience on the cross, she responded to God with great obedience and submission to his plan. Mary was a woman of faith, of great faith. And even as a young girl. And so I'm going to go to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, where it foretells the birth of Jesus. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in a town of Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And in that culture, Mary, it really wasn't Mary, it was Miriam. And Miriam was the one of the most common names then. It was like one in three girls were named Miriam. Miriam was, said the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. As I was meditating on these scriptures, I really found it a little strange, as Mary is actually having a conversation with the angel, and she says, you know, "What kind of greeting might this be?" And I'm thinking, wow, if I see an angel, I'm pretty sure I'm like carrying on this casual conversation, like, but she, which leads me to believe that maybe Mary doesn't really stand in Scripture, but maybe she's had other greetings. Maybe she had other visitations from the angel. And but this was a different type of greeting, where the angel would come to say that you will bear the Son of the Most High. And so, but she says, "How could this be? I'm a virgin." And even knowing, like, she's got to go back and share this. She's betrothed to Joseph. She's got to share with him, "Hey, I'm pregnant." I'm pregnant. What is he going to think? But she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. That was the thing. May your word be done unto me, your servant, Mary. And I think about that. It was like she knew that that would come, even at a great price, because she's sharing. She has to go back and tell her family, and she's got to tell Joseph, and she has to say, you know, I am pregnant with child, and guess what? It's not your baby. It's God's. It's God. So I don't know about you, but if I shared that with my husband, pretty sure I shared a lot of things with him. He looks at me like I have two heads most of the time. But I will tell you, and I say a lot of crazy things to him. People think I'm crazy most of the time, but I'm crazy for Jesus, and that's okay. It's okay. But the beautiful thing that I see here is that she trusted the Lord. She knew that if God spoke it, that it was surely going to come to pass. No matter what was to come, God was going to be faithful to his word because it doesn't return to him void. And Mary knew that, even as a child, that she knew that. And what's so cool, I see, you know, immediately after that, Mary runs to Elizabeth. And guys, you probably don't have this, but Mary runs to Elizabeth. It says she made haste. I'm thinking she's running, and Elizabeth's like 100 miles away. Like, she's in Judea. She's over there. And I'm believing that Mary's going to see, is this word true? Is Elizabeth pregnant? She's in her 6th month, the angel said, so she's going to check it out. Like, I want to see if this is true. And immediately, when Mary gets there, and as soon as Elizabeth opens the door, and when she gives her the immediate greeting, John the Baptist leaps in her belly. Like, he's immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. And Mary, she begins to sing. She has a song. And she says, and I love this, and I have read this so many times since you've told me that I'd be speaking on this, but it says, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. What a beautiful, beautiful song. There was so much joy in that Mary knew. She actually stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. And I'd like to think, you know, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. If Mary stayed 3 more months, I'm pretty sure she's there to help Elizabeth. She's going to give birth to John the Baptist, who's foretold when the angel came to Zechariah in chapter 1. And I will tell you, Zechariah did not believe what the angel had said, that he would have a son in his old age. Elizabeth is, you know, postmenopausal. She's not going to be able to have a baby. Zechariah's an old man. And he's like, you know, how is this going to happen? But I think the angel may have been offended because then Zechariah was unable to speak. He silenced him. He was mute and he could not speak, which leads me to believe that we can offend when we do not believe and we lack faith, because the word says it is impossible to please God without faith. We cannot, it's not just, it is impossible. So Mary had faith, and she stayed with Elizabeth, and I believe when John the Baptist was born, and I believe also that it could have been that because Mary's pregnant, the family, Joseph's family, is probably furious because here Mary has already been betrothed to Joseph, engaged. Their engagement's for a year, but to the community, it looked as though Mary slept with another man. You know, how could this be? She has her reputation could have been ruined and in tatters. And literally, Joseph could have exiled her, or in that day, that she would have been stoned to death. But Joseph was it said Joseph was a righteous man. He was a righteous man, and so he wanted to quietly get a divorce, basically. Quietly just put her away, because he didn't want to ruin Mary's reputation. He didn't want to do anything that would hurt her. But on his way, Joseph was on his way. And how often are we on our way, caring about our business, doing our thing, when we're interrupted by God? God sends an angel to say, this is true. You know, go to Mary. She will bear the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So Joseph went to her. But how often, if you think about it, when God is speaking to us and he's given us a promise and he's spoken to us, do we truly believe God? Because in the natural, oftentimes it seems impossible. The fact that I'm standing here before you was a prophetic promise that I received 33 years ago. 33 years ago. And I said, the day that I received the promise, and I said the very thing, Lord, how could this be? I am a pregnant, unwed mother sitting on this pew. How could this be? How could you ever use me? I'm just a lowly girl. I am poor, poor in spirit. But what made Mary special? And what makes each of us uniquely special to God is that when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, like the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, she was an ordinary girl. She was ordinary from a small town. Because I was trying to say, God, what was it about Mary? Why did you use her? But it was when the Holy Spirit came upon her. And said, the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. And that is when the power, it's because there's nothing in us. If we could do it, we don't need a miracle. If we are educated enough, rich enough, smart enough, whatever that is, if we could do it, we don't need God. This was a miracle. And how often do we need a miracle? We ask for a miracle. We pray for a miracle. And we're asking God, I need a miracle. But how many of us really want to be in a situation where we actually need a miracle? How often do we want to be in that situation? Because if you've got cancer and you're sitting here tonight, guess what? You need a miracle. You need a miracle in your life. And you know, as I begin to pray and seek the Lord about Mary, Mary was pregnant with the promise of the Savior, of the Messiah, that would come into a dark and dying world and that he would save you and me. And how many of us sitting here are pregnant with a promise? Are you pregnant with a promise or pregnant with a dream that God has birthed inside of you and waiting on you to step out and take a leap of faith? Because I will tell you, I'm in a place right now that I'm stepping out of the boat and I'm saying, God, no matter what, if nobody goes with me, I am going with you. And I said, I don't want to leave anything here undone. I don't want to leave anything here undone. God, I want to give it my all. I am laying it all out here for you. Just like Mary said, God, according to your word, be it done unto me. And so she said, no matter what my reputation, no matter if nobody believes me, no matter if nobody goes with me, I know that you've spoken and you've given me a promise. And this, it seems unbelievable that this would ever happen. But Mary believed, and she had faith, and she carried, even though she knew that she had to count the cost. Mary was a woman of character. She was a woman of great faith, but also Mary knew she had a spiritual condition, and in her condition, Gabriel said, "The Lord is with you," and she had favor with the Lord. And guess what? Favor's not fair, but guess what? We have the favor of the Lord as believers. We have God's favor on our life, and with that, nothing's impossible with God. Just as with Mary, we need the spirit of Mary and not the spirit of Zechariah, because Mary believed, but it was God's grace. It was the grace of God that gave Mary that favor, and it's the same grace that gives us the favor of God. We have that. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. There's not enough. We can't work for it. It is God's grace freely given to us. And it's by faith that we believe, just like Mary, and we take hold of the promise, trusting God for the very thing that He is birthing in you, each of you. There's purpose in the calling. There's purpose when you're chosen. Mary was chosen and favored of God because she was chosen for purpose. And that's the thing. God doesn't give us this for ourselves, for position, but He gives us this promise for His purpose, that when we come to understand who we are, as Mary knew who she was, she knew who she was. And so she remained faithful to that, and she was courageous. It took a tremendous amount of courage for Mary to say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, according to your word, be it done unto me." She was the chosen vessel of God. And the angel said to Mary, "Fear not." And it had to be that Mary was... She was a girl. She was a young girl. Wouldn't that be frightening to know that you have to tell your family and to share, and no matter what was going to happen, she still said yes to God's plan and the will for her life. She surrendered. It was in her surrender and trusting the Lord. Mary was faithful. But there's a cost. There was Mary's character. She was a blessed, favored woman of God. But there was also, and she was courageous, but there was a cost and a price to be paid. Because just like the prophecy of Simeon in Luke 2:34 and 25, it said, "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword that will pierce your own soul, also that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed.'" And her son would be birthed. And it was a hard life for Mary to watch her son in that time to go off in his ministry and to be considered a rebel and a radical. But Jesus turned this world upside down. He turned it upside down for me and you, that we could have life abundantly, that we could live free and fully alive, because the Son of God came for us to save a dark and dying world. And I was dying before I came to know Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. And Mary knew Jesus. Mary knew Jesus as her Lord and her Savior. And so answering the call of God will cost you something. The favor of God may cost you your relationships, the favor with men, your reputation. It will cost you everything. But it is so worth it. It is so worth it. I've not one day had a regret that I didn't give my heart and life to my Lord and my Savior. And even though it has been a hard road, it has not been easy. God has remained faithful. And he has done some of the most impossible miracles in my life. When I look around and I see how blessed I am, I, by all accounts, should not be standing here today. I should be dead. And for those that don't know, you know, I was addicted to drugs and alcohol till I was 40 years old. That's a long time. But God knew me, just like he knew Jeremiah, before he formed you in the womb. He said, I knew you. God knows us, our very innermost being. He saw me as he created me before the foundation of the earth. He created you with a purpose. With a purpose and a plan for your life. And sadly, to say, many people never come to understand who they are, who God created them to be, what their purpose is on this earth. You know, we're praying, God, send revival, but he said, I already did. I sent you. I sent you to go out into the highways and the byways and to give the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he is our hope. He is our Savior. And apart from him, there's nothing we can do. We are lost, and there is a dying world out there waiting for me and you to share the good news of Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is none like him. There is no other gods before him. It is the name above every name. He is holy and worthy to be praised. And we magnify the Lord, for he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. So I say tonight, and I'm watching the clock because my husband's probably back there going, so Lord, I'm going to say, what do we learn from Mary? That God chooses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And all throughout the Bible that we see this, God said David was a man after his own heart. David was a murderer and adulterer, but he says he's a man after my own heart. And God is just looking for an opportunity to show out in our lives. He's just looking for an opportunity to be glorified through our lives. And when we get to that place where we are laid down lovers of Jesus, when we can lay it all down and say, Lord, according to your word, according to your word, be it done unto your daughter. Be it done unto your son. Father God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. And I tell you, God is raising up a generation that is crying out, Abba, Father, where's our daddy? Daddy God, Daddy God. There's a generation that needs fathers. They need you. They need spiritual mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers. And I tell you what, to come to church and sit in here day in and week out and get filled and fat and sassy on the word and say, oh, that was a good message today. Pastor Ronnie, God, he just brought it today. But then go home to our home, to our comfort zone, and to our families and not do anything else outside of that. How can we? And that's why I know God called me to a ministry. And I was on my way somewhere when the Lord stopped me. And he's going to interrupt your life. And it's going to get messy. And it ain't easy. And God said, but I'm going to be with you. I found favor with you because he's looking for a humble and obedient heart. And somebody that'll step out in faith and said, yes, Lord, I will go. Send me. I will go. So guess what? I'm going. And I'm going, and I'm saying, come with me, let's go, we can do this. And I'm so excited about where we're going here at Abba's House and what God is doing in our city and outside the four walls of this church, because God is raising up a people. He's raising up an army that says, you know, God didn't come and he came that we'd have life and life more abundantly. I want the abundant life and everything that Jesus died to give me, and I'm taking hold of that. And I say tonight, if you haven't taken hold of that, God wants you to take hold of that. If you don't know Jesus as Lord, if you don't know him as Lord and Savior, if you die tonight, and if you don't know that you would stand before the Father, then tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. Josh, where are you? Thank you. I'm just going to ask them to come up. Father, I'm so humbled tonight. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for Mary. We thank you, God, that as we see her, we can see ourselves. Father, I thank you through her condition. We see that the Lord is with her. She's highly favored. And through her courage that we see, she trusted God and believed the word that Gabriel had brought to her. We thank you that through her cost, knowing that the road would be difficult, she chose to go anyway. And that the birth of the promise of our Savior and ultimately the death of her son and Savior. So I ask you tonight, what has God called you to do? Are you pregnant with a promise? Has God given you a promise? There's many promises in the Word, but I know for my promise, I've held on to it for 33 years. And I know this coming year is a year of promise, God. It's a year of promise. And I thank you, Father, right now. And I just ask if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice, if you don't know Jesus as Lord, I just ask that you repeat after me and you would say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I thank you that you died on the cross, even if it was just for me. And Lord, I ask you to come into my heart and save me and cleanse me and use me for your glory. We thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask you tonight if you're willing to step out of the boat. Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone or to a place of promise no matter what the cost? Or will you be paralyzed by fear and not be willing to move? Because fear paralyzes us. It paralyzes us. And God said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And it's not by mind nor by power, but God said, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And just like the Spirit of God overshadowed Mary, the Spirit of God overshadows us tonight. So we can go boldly to the throne of grace and we can ask anything of our Father, because he's a good, good Father. He's a good Father. And he desires to give us the desires of our heart. And yes, I have a dream. I have a dream, Father, to see lives transformed. I have a dream, God, that the harvest, Lord, that you send laborers into the harvest. Father God, that you send them out, Lord. God, I thank you right now. God, you've called us to go into all the world. and to make disciples, Lord. And you sent your only Son, Father God, so that we would have life abundantly and that we would bring heaven to earth. We bring heaven to earth now. We call heaven to earth tonight, Father God. So if there's anybody here, Pastor Ronnie, I hope this is okay if I have a few minutes. If there's anybody here and you're pregnant with a promise and you are waiting on the Lord and you said, you know, it's been hard and maybe I'm older now and God, maybe this isn't going to happen for me. Or maybe, God, there's a but this, but that, but I'm single, but I don't have enough money, or but God said, but I promised. God said, I promised that I'd be faithful. And so according to your word, Lord, be it done unto your people tonight, Father God. So if you've been holding on to a promise and you're pregnant with a promise, I just want you to come up here. We could just pray over you tonight. If there's anybody here that said, you know what? I've been waiting on the Lord. I've been waiting on you, Father. Lord, thank you right now, Father. We thank you for your presence in this place.